Welcome in, everybody. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast. What's going on? It's a Tuesday edition of the show here, June 18th. Louis DiBiase joining you in studio, as always, alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. Gino, what's going on, man?
Not much, Lou. It's been quite some time since we've been together. It's a hectic summer for both of us, but good thing is it's the down season to the NFL, even though there's plenty of news coming out every single day. I just read an article before we hopped on that the Redskins intend to start Ereck Flowers at left guard, which should make Fletcher Cox a very happy human being today. So, yeah, every day there's something going on in the NFL. I saw something that Brett Favre posted a Instagram picture saying he was come back as well. So even if that's not true, the NFL and the Twitter itself is very fun. And we're getting close to training camp, Lou. I know Eagles fans are a little upset at the news today, but we're just a couple weeks away.
Training camp coming up in late July. Yeah, there definitely was kind of a bit of outrage. Look, I don't have a problem. Like, I saw the back and forth kind of with, you know, some people from Eagles media and fans. A lot of people comparing it to, you know, back in the old Lehigh days, which was, you know, it just was a lot better back then. Whereas, like, I don't have a problem with them charging $10 for, you know, the charity. The problem with that I have is that there's only one open campus, and like I get, there's only one open camp for the public, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, I know it's been a while. They haven't been at Lehigh for what, like 7 years now, since Chip Kelly took over and brought them back to NovaCare. So the experience has kind of been really dead for a while. But I think that's more of the outrage, and it's kind of this whole one practice is now bringing that back to light because no one has really talked about it for a while. But you know, it was, the experience back then was incredible, and especially now that tickets are even more, look, tickets have always been expensive in the NFL, especially when you're in a big market like Philadelphia, but now that they have won the Super Bowl and they're a consistent contender the past couple of years and for the foreseeable future, now I think even more this is a big topic because you should try to get fans as much exposure with this team as possible considering the ticket prices. So I do get fans' frustration with that. I don't have a problem with them charging $10. But, man, it definitely is different from back in the days at Lehigh and where on even PhiladelphiaEagles.com they do Eagles Live for 4 hours. It definitely is different. So I do get the frustration with some fans.
Yeah, it's totally understandable. And such a beloved fan base as the Philadelphia Eagles, I can see why there's outrage. And I was unfortunate not to be able to get down to Lehigh in my time as an Eagles fan. I wish I could have because everything I heard about it was awesome. But I equate it to, I'm going to assume it's a lot like what the Bills have here in Buffalo when they go to St. John Fisher in Rochester. They're open. They have open practices, I think, like 14, 15 times throughout training camp. And I know I remember going back in the day, even when I wasn't a Bills fan, and I got Troy Vincent to sign a ball once he signed with Philadelphia. And it's cool just to see even those players and just see what they go through in their everyday life, because it makes you appreciate it so much more. Because when it's the beating sun, like 85 degrees, these guys are just getting the shit kicked out of each other. Just 350-pound men just slamming into each other. It's cool exposure to see that you don't see a lot of the time. And unfortunately, the Eagles aren't going to allow the fans to be there, but the great thing is there are some great names in Philadelphia media to cover that for you, and hopefully we can be part of that contingent coming this training camp. But it makes you focus on getting the good sources, because you see guys like Michael Kist and Ben Solak, and those guys can break it down for you, and those are good resources, and those are, that's insight that a lot of other teams don't have. Like, the Eagles fans should be beloved that they have such a big market and have such insight, even though there isn't open camp, to their training camp. Because I know here in Buffalo, like, what is the media contingent, Lou? Like, if you were to go to a Bills game, it's not big. I mean, you might have maybe 5 to 10 reporters from Buffalo, a couple from Toronto, maybe one or two from Rochester. Yeah, and in Philadelphia, there's a countless, especially in training camp when they hand out credentials to everybody. So, yes, it is disappointing. I don't have the luxury of having ever been to Lehigh, so I can't speak on that matter, but this Eagles organization is always doing stuff, and it's not like it's a bad cause. It goes to Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles Foundation, which is great, the Autism Speaks Foundation, if I'm not mistaken. And they're always doing stuff like Carson Wentz's charity softball. So if you want to go see your Eagles, there's always times to do so. They always are doing meet and greets around town. There's always chances to do so. not on the football field, unfortunately, but that's the nature of the beast. And what it boils down to in the end of it, Lou, is the NFL's business. This was a business decision. They're doing it for that reason. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. It's sad to say, but that's the truth.
Yeah, no, and again, I don't have a problem with the $10 thing. But once again, it really is dumb because it really helps strengthen your fan base. I think, at least from a fan perspective, being with them for training camp, like you said, while in the heat, those guys are going through that. And the preseason, it makes you, I think, from a fan's perspective, it makes you feel a part of the team, makes you feel a part of that journey throughout the season. And at the same time, for like young fans, you see it in the NBA all the time, players always trying to give, little kids their shoes or their arm sleeve, or even in the preseason games, you got fans lined up by the tunnel and, Eagles players will hand them their gloves and stuff. And when you do that for like a six-year-old kid who's growing up now, now you got a fan for life. So I feel like while, again, I don't care that they're charging $10, you should create more opportunities during training camp and the preseason, just throughout the summer, when the season is getting going and the excitement's building back up. For me, you got to create as many opportunities to share that experience with the fans. And they really have not done a good job of that, at least in training camp, again, since Lehigh Valley. But more of that to come today, what we're getting into coming up right here after the break. We are Locked On Corey Clement, part of our, once again, one of our feature series here on the podcast. We get into one player and we dig deep. On the podcast, we did Locked On Vinny Curry a couple weeks ago. You can go check that out on LockedOnEagles.com or on any podcast platform. And once again, if you missed any of our shows, make sure you subscribe because we're getting 4 to 5 podcasts in a week. So make sure you get it in your phone so throughout the week you get your fix on Eagles talk. But we're getting into Corey Clement here, Gino, and we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, Clement is an interesting guy. He's in an interesting situation because the Eagles traded for Jordan Howard. They drafted Miles Sanders in the second round. Clement was kind of this folk hero in the Super Bowl, with 100 receiving yards. Now it's coming off this 2018 season that had a lot of injuries, a lot of inconsistency. He's just kind of this unknown, what are you going to get with him? Is he going to kind of fall in history as the one of these Super Bowl heroes that just never really did anything after that, like Malcolm Smith, member with the Seahawks, the linebacker that won MVP, or, Jacoby Jones had that standout Super Bowl performance in the Ravens 49ers game. So it's either that or does Clement become a big part of this Eagles future on offense? So we're going to get into that coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are Locked On Corey Clement. So we're going to get into Clement here. A player that, once again, very interesting. He had a really good rookie year, very unexpected, coming out undrafted from Wisconsin. No one really expected. Remember, Gino, it was supposed to be Donnell Pumphrey that was supposed to be the Corey Clement. Mm-hmm. So he's already exceeded expectations for me. But 2018 was a really up-and-down season for him, coming off an incredible Super Bowl performance that no one really saw coming. What are your initial thoughts of just where he is right now, what his standing with the team is? Because it's really interesting. Sanders is clearly the future at running back, but he could be, I could see him being the RB2 of the future, the RB3. I could maybe see him not on the team in a couple years. He's an interesting player.
Yeah, to speak on his Super Bowl performance, I saw it coming from a mile away. I actually bet him at +3,000 to 1 to win the MVP. And if he makes that cut, I let my friend in who is a Packers fan on that little source that I had. And the source was my head. Not always the greatest source for gambling, but I kind of figured because like you said, there are these guys that go by the wayside after the Super Bowl's over, but they have that one big performance. And Corey did just that. And he showed a lot of promise coming out of that 2017 year. He looked explosive, which a lot of people, when he came out of Wisconsin, said he lacked that explosiveness, that straight line speed. And in 2017, I kind of forgot about those issues and those question marks surrounding him coming out of Wisconsin. In 2018, I saw it completely. The first couple weeks, I thought it was just like, okay, the whole team's kind of slow. They're kind of injured. They're looking a little dinged up from last season. But then the explosiveness just never came back. He just didn't look himself for a majority of the season. And the best game he had was the one he ended up getting injured in and left him out for the season, unfortunately. And he was just getting hot as they were going into the playoffs, which was unfortunate. But you saw those issues that – these draft analysts and everybody talked about him coming out of college. he was really an unknown in the pass catching game. I think he caught less than 50 catches in his entire career at Wisconsin, right. But he came out and he was electric in the pass game. 2018, he kind of faded away. His biggest performance in the entire history of Philadelphia Eagles history, it was in the Super Bowl. He had two unbelievable plays. That one where he almost takes it to the house, could have cut back into the end zone, just made a wrong cut. But then the other one, the Nick Foles, one of the greatest throws I've ever seen into double coverage, and Corey Clement makes that catch with about half a centimeter in the back of the end zone and really put those catching question marks to bed. But yeah, this is a big season coming up for him, Lou. And like you said, he's already exceeded expectations for me, but he has a lot to prove to me in this upcoming offseason.
Yeah, I think definitely injuries did play a part in 2018. He was battling injuries at the beginning of the season, much like the entire roster was. And then at the end of the season as well, he kind of, it was in the middle, he was just very inconsistent. He fell out of favor in the rotation. I don't think he surpassed 4 yards per carry from week 5 up until like week 11 or 12. He got hot again at the end of the season against the Giants, against Washington. He went back-to-back 70-plus yard games from scrimmage. And then even in the beginning, though, like weeks 2 through 4, we saw 85 yards from scrimmage, 75, then 69. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but he still lacked that explosiveness in those stats. Like, you can't convolute those stats. Like, you could definitely tell his explosiveness was limited in those couple games, even though he was producing.
No, right, but then you did see, I thought I saw the explosiveness come back at the end of the season. I thought that game against the Giants and against the Redskins, in the screen game specifically, he was... Because
you were just waiting for it. Like, we saw it in 2017, in the screen game. Like, he would see the hole and he would hit it. In 2018, like, he would see the hole and he would kind of, like, he would wait around a little bit. He would try to hit the hole and he would get caught from behind. Like, stuff you weren't seeing in 2017. And that was a huge concern for me. And I was really questioning his ability last year. I still think he has all the skill set to produce. And I think coming into this offseason being healthy, having a better bit of health this go around, is going to do big things for him. But people are talking about him not even being a lock for the roster this season, you know? So he has a lot to be desired right now. And I hope he proves me wrong, because I totally think he can be an element in this offense, a changeup from the Miles Sanders, from the Jordan Howard, be that off-speed pitch that the Eagles can throw when Sanders is tired after a few carries and Jordan Howard just isn't getting the job done. I still think he has an element to play in this offense.
I think he struggled definitely with vision last year. I think there were times, you made a good point, where there'd be a hole open and he would cut it to the other side where the defense was waiting for him. And then there were times where the hole wasn't there and he tried jamming through, and it's like, man, if you bounce that to the right side, you're going to get like a 10-yard run. So yeah, the vision, I think it's something that he definitely did struggle with last year, specifically at the beginning and the middle of the season. I am holding out hope once again, though, because we did see him turn it on as of late before he got hurt, which was pretty unfortunate. But I'm still hoping that he becomes that roster lock as that third guy, because I think he offers more, way more than, you know, Wendell Smallwood. I know the Eagles have a great scheme. They have a great offensive line. That's going to help pretty much any running back. It's why even Wendell Smallwood can do some stuff in this offense. But I don't think it's, you know, I think some people want to kind of compare him with the Wendell Smallwoods and the Josh Adams more. I do think I think he definitely is a step up. You could see the screen game, different plays. Like, there was it would be the same hole, and Clement would make a much bigger play out of it than a guy like Wendell Smallwood would. So, I mean, Clement's not the fastest guy. He's not the biggest guy, but he's very well-rounded. I think the offense moves very smoothly when he's gelling, especially in 2017. I mean, that's what's going to happen when you have a running back that can do a little bit of everything, compared to, you know, you put a guy like LeGarrette Blount out there, or Darren Sproles, you kind of know what you're getting. So the Eagles need him to get going. Not only he doesn't, of course he needs himself to get going, but the Eagles do too, because having a well-rounded running back, you guys hear me say it all the time, it makes your offense a lot more dangerous.
Yeah, I think so, and I think you made a great point that he offers more to this team than a Wendell Smallwood does, for example. I trust Corey Clement to get me 3 yards when I need 2 yards. Wendell Smallwood, I'm not really sure.
And like, I think he can break off even more, right? I mean, I feel like he has no shake-off ability. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen Wendell Smallwood
break. No, he has terrible vision and he has terrible feet. He can't set his feet and he doesn't have patience. I think one thing that we talked about, this was probably off the air, but I know we've talked about it, is that Corey Clement has very good patience. Like, he has that ability. Him and Josh Adams, I think, have, like, very similar abilities in the department for patience. Like, they're willing to let the play develop and let it run. And that's something that Wendell Smallwood cannot do. He runs into the back of blockers all the time. There were plenty of times you see Corey Clement cut back. He found a hole that wouldn't have been there probably a half a second ago. He will wait for it to develop. It's just, can he get his feet set under him? Can he get that vision back? Can he get that explosiveness back? Because, frankly, there was a reason he wasn't drafted. Teams didn't trust him in most of those regards. So he has to be gelling on all cylinders to really produce at that level, and we've seen it. And you look at what players can do and not what they can't do. And I think, and I know, and I've seen it, that Corey Clement can offer me full capability as a running back three and definitely has RB2 upside to him.
Yeah, he's never going to be an RB1. He's just not. Absolutely. I mean, not. He's just not this raw physical specimen that you're like, oh my gosh, just get him. I mean, even if he's not trying, he's going to break off huge play after huge play. But you're right. I mean, the intangibles too. I hate to use that word, but no, like, just, it's just a well-rounded, just what repertoire to his game that, like, you talked about patience. I was watching a bunch of his games this morning going into his 2018 tape because I wanted to see, you know, where he was lacking compared to the 2017 run down the stretch where he looked incredible. And finally, at the end of the season, yeah, he had that patience again. Once again, his screen game performances, especially against the Giants, against the Redskins, he was waiting for offense. I mean, he wasn't rushing anything. He was letting offensive linemen get downfield.
He just looked nervous in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, exactly. He was way too hesitant.
Yeah, he was way too hesitant, and he just went against his ways as a runner. And when he got back to himself, and Lou, you pointed out those last couple games of the season, it was like, this is the guy who we thought
exactly
he could have been. And I think if you have him going into the playoffs, I think you're set up way better for success than what you were left there with, because it was a question mark after he went down. You're out of Jai, you're out Clement, and you're out Sproles. Like, what do you do at that point until Sproles comes back and basically dominated that offense? But now you're sitting here. You don't have Darren Sproles. Wendell Smallwood's still a question mark. You drafted your running back of the future, Miles Sanders. You traded for Jordan Howard, so you already know those two guys are above you. Corey Clement has the ability to be either one, the third running back on this team, or completely off this team. I myself personally think he is the RB3. I think in the end, Boston Scott should be your RB4 for his pass-catching ability. And like you said, Lou, or I don't know if you said this, but I might have said this to myself. If I'm sitting there and Jordan Howard goes down and Miles Sanders go down, who can I rely on to get me some yards? Boston Scott, Wendell Smallwood, Josh Adams, or Corey Clement? I think one of those names is an outlier in that conversation.
Exactly. I don't think I think he's definitely closer to the Howard and Sanders tier than the Adams, Scott, and Smallwood tier. Just as a receiver, too. I mean, he can do things that, you know, even Sproles didn't have the ability to, where just like as the kind of receiver he is, you see that pass from Foles to Clement in the Super Bowl, how he could bring that down and the body control to get both feet down while bringing the ball in. Or even that Washington Monday night game in 2017 where he goes up for the pass, you know, a fade in the back of the end zone, one of the most incredible plays I've ever seen from Wentz and Clement. And even last year, week 2 against Tampa Bay, I don't know if you remember the play along the left sidelines on 4th and 10 where Foles just lets it fly and Clement lunges out for the pass, and if he doesn't get drilled in midair, he nearly comes down with that play too. Yeah, I mean, that's he has a different kind of receiving ability that this Eagles team doesn't really have on the other players on the roster. Mm-hmm. And with Darren Sproles, they haven't really had it. So I think it's going to be huge for this team if he can get it going. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. You were kind of talking about, so is he an RB3? Is he an RB2? You said, yeah, he's an RB3 with RB2 upside. Could he not be on the team in the next couple years? We went to Twitter and asked the fans. We'll get into that next and see what you guys think right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are wrapping up Locked On Corey Clement, Louis DiBiase, and Gino Camilleri. As always, hey, guys, just so you know, we are in the merchandise game now as well. Go to tpublic.com/LockedOnEagles. Me and Gino, we got the store up and running. We have a really awesome first shirt that we have unveiled, and it's not only a shirt, you can get it in hoodie form, sweatshirts, phone cases, laptop stickers, you name it. It's the Deshaun Jackson 2.0 design, and Geno's guy, Austin. Shout out to Austin. Great job designing this logo. You can get it on tpublic.com/lockedoneagles. 30% off all DeSean Jackson 2.0 merchandise. So celebrate DeSean Jackson's return to Philadelphia with us and get your merchandise. All right, guys. So we're getting back into Corey Clement here. And Geno, you mentioned before the break, RB3 with RB2 upside. I think that's the perfect way to describe it. I think he, once again, he could be on either end of the spectrum. He could be Miles Sanders' future second man. He could be not on the team, or he could kind of be what he was last year when he was healthy, where he's that RB3 that you use in passing situations. I mean, I think he's a good kick returner. I think he showed that last year. He had some big returns in the kick return game. Punt return he kind of struggled with, specifically against the Colts. He should really try getting into that niche role, because that'll help him. You know, if he can be that Kenyon Barner for the Eagles, that's going to also help him continue to see playing time. We went to the polls on Twitter. RB3, RB2 behind Sanders, or won't be on the team. What do you think Corey Clement's future with the Eagles is? 51% Geno said RB3, 35% said RB2 behind Sanders, 14% said won't be on the team. Once again, he's already exceeded my expectations, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if he builds off what he was doing at the end of the season last year, and maybe he makes them comfortable enough to let Jordan Howard walk next year and he becomes the RB2. But I think no matter what, I think he's definitely closer to being an RB2, RB3 than not being on the team and getting, say, beat out by a Josh Adams or Wendell Smallwood.
Absolutely. And if he's back to that 4.3 yards per attempt type ability, where he's ringing off over what his catch percentage over the last two seasons was about 75%, reeling in around 10 yards of reception. Like, that's exactly what you need out of the guy. I think that's a perfect element to place him in. I think he's an RB3 who will get you 300-400 yards on the ground, and receiving, he should get you another 400-500 yards. He definitely has an element in this offense. One, he's a bigger body than most of those guys that are below him on the depth chart. He's going to hold up in the run game. I mean, Boston Scott, he's one hit away from being back in kindergarten, you know, like he's, right. He's a small guy as is, but he, if he takes one hit the wrong way, like he's going to go down. And you saw that with Darren Sproles too. He was very fragile, even though it was soft tissue stuff. That still happens when running backs get up there in age, but I truly believe that he is going to be a good RB3, even a great RB3, maybe even the best RB3 in the NFL this upcoming season, because who can you put ahead of him? The guy was almost a Super Bowl MVP. You know he has that ability in him. There were question marks of, was he in shape last season? Was the injury really lingering more than people thought? There are a lot of question marks around him, but the good thing I'm hearing about now, Lou, in this offseason, is nothing at all about Corey Clement. You're not hearing anything bad, but at the same time, you're not hearing great things, even though he's consistently producing at OTAs. And I think that's right where you want him to be. Not a lot of question marks regarding him this year, besides how can he fit into my offense? How can he make my offense more than one-dimensional, like a Boston Scott, like a Darren Sproles, like a LeGarrette Blount? I think he answers a lot of those questions. You've seen what he can do in the pass game. You've seen what he can do in the run game. He brings a lot of different elements to this team that you are not going to find in an RB3 off the street or even in the building that you have now.
Yeah, especially for a guy that has, once again, has performed on some big stages. Super Bowl, he had over 100 receiving yards. I mean, it's incredible. He actually, and that's why, like, he's not a Boston Scott. Coming out of Wisconsin, you thought this is like a running back kind of running back, you know what I mean, where he's just not a receiver. He's not a weapon. He's more of just a running back. And he, once again, he's not the most explosive player, but he has definitely exceeded expectations. When it comes to now, I label him almost as a receiving running back. And look, he's a pretty good blocker, too. I mean, he put Calais Campbell on his behind in London last year. So
that's right.
This is a valuable player that has shown up in big moments, not only in the Super Bowl, but you go back to 2017, week four against the Chargers, the game-winning rushing touchdown. I mean, that was only his fourth week as a rookie. This is a player that not only for himself, it's a very important third year, but the Eagles are a better team when Corey Clement can be that guy with fresh legs when Miles Sanders goes to the bench or Jordan Howard, that you have Corey Clement coming in and you're not going to skip a beat. So I'm excited to see the prospects of Corey Clement in year three. And we're going to continue to keep an eye on him and the running back situation as the training camp goes on. But he'll be a fun player to watch throughout training camp and the preseason. Geno, any final thoughts here?
Yeah, I just say take Corey Clement as he is. Don't expect him to be the guy or rush like a guy who is the guy. Expect him to be what he is. And that is the one paradigm I took away from the Scout Academy, along with many others, that really sticks in my head. Look at what a player can't do. You can break down what Corey Clement can't do. He can't be a number one. He's not going to be a true receiving back. He's not going to be a true workhorse back. But what can he do? He could still get you 400 plus yards on the ground. He could still average over 10 yards of reception. He will be a changeup pitch for your offense and arguably is the best RB3 in football. I think the Eagles are in a very good position with one of the best backfield setups that they've had to start a season. I won't say that they ended better in 2017 because that trio of Corey Clement, Jay Ajayi, and LeGarrette Blount was incredible. But to start a season and on paper, I love this running back room. I think Jordan Howard, he's your thunder. Miles Sanders is your lightning. And then Corey Clement is a combination of the two, sprinkled in with a little bit of Boston Scott or Wendell Smallwood, whatever your flavor is. But there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, and I think Corey Clement allows you to get many of those different ways to skin that cat in the receiving game and in the running game because he's a guy who can do a good amount of everything but not a great amount of everything. He's what he is as an RB2 with RB2 upside, but being an RB3 is truly what his role is in the NFL, in my opinion.
I think that's a perfect way to wrap it up. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's been Locked On Corey Clement. Shout out to our boy, by the way, Johnny Page. He's a big Corey Clement guy, so we hope you're listening, Johnny, and enjoying the Clement talk.
Former co-host.
That's right. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. Once again, guys, we're in the merchandise game. If you need more DeSean Jackson apparel for round two of DeSean in Philadelphia, tpublic.com. We tweeted it out at Locked On Birds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. Please subscribe to the show if you're not already so you can get 4 to 5 podcasts a week on your Philadelphia Eagles. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.